You notice I got a little sun yesterday going to King's Dominion with the youth group. I feel like since I've been to the seminary, part of my job has been to go to King's Dominion 6,000 times. But it actually was pretty enjoyable. My favorite ride is right when you walk in to the ride. It's called the Starbucks. And I spend a lot of time sitting in there. So. You know, when I was finishing up in the seminary, I had a friend from Indiana, a classmate, and he was kind of a gourmet. Now, I like nice food, nice restaurants, but I can also get on without it. I ate at Waffle House for the first time last night. That was pretty good. So he always invited me to these real posh restaurants in Rome that were sort of on the cutting edge, avant-garde and all this. And I would always turn him down. But he was so persistent that eventually I finally went with him on his birthday with about 10 other guys, and we went to this restaurant. And I thought it was terrible. It was one bite of food at a time, and there were like 30 minutes sometimes between each course. There were like 10 courses, so we were there for like 3 hours. And he was a big smoker, so we would build in smoking breaks throughout the dinner. So I don't smoke, so I would just sit at the table alone or go out and be in the cloud of smoke with everyone else. It was a really rough time, but he had been so persistent that I had listened to him and gone. I didn't do it out of friendship. I did it because I didn't want to hear about not going with him anymore. And that's kind of what God's talking about here. Today is all about prayer. He talks to us about why we pray, how we should pray, and then he talks to us a little bit about persistence. If we just look at the Our Father, this is sort of the shorter version, but it's the same petitions that we find in the longer version. And so if we look at it, we see Our Father. First of all, that's going to be important later in this gospel when he talks about what a good father does, who he is. And from there, we start to go through the various reasons to pray. We start with worship. We say, "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come." We talk about our daily needs. It's hard to be able to concentrate on the spiritual life when somebody is starving or dying of thirst. So we pray for those needs that help us to be able to concentrate on the higher things. And then we talk about our own spiritual needs, the fact that we need to forgive just as we're forgiven, that we need help to overcome temptation so that we can make it to the kingdom of heaven. But if we look at the second part, after the Our Father, we realize how important it is that it is a prayer where we call God our Father, because he uses the analogy of a son and a father. It could just as easily be a daughter and a mother, a daughter and a father, a son and a mother. Parents get petitions all the time, as you know, from their children. And the children think, and we've all been there as children as well, that what they're asking for is something that is for their good. So if you're always asking for candy, there are times when you'll receive that in answer to your prayer to your parent. However, you don't always get that candy because parents have a wider view, a bigger context in which to place petitions. So when you go forward and ask for a piece of candy as a child, it may seem like a good and noble petition. But the parent sees the wide picture of your total health. That if you go through all your childhood eating too many sweets, you're not going to be a healthy person. That it will bring early death, something that we're meant to have eternal life. So the parent can see that. The parent can also see what's right around the corner. The child might not realize that dinner is going to be served in half an hour, and that's where the healthy food is. And then afterwards, they can eat a sweet. But if they eat it before, they're not going to be ready for the great gift of that meal when it comes. Parents don't answer every prayer, but they see the context, and when they don't answer a prayer, it's for that child's good. It's the same way with our father. If we're talking about a normal biological father in this, who would never give his son a snake when he asks for a fish, so much more is the perfect father who knows all things, loves us more than we love ourselves, and sees the totality of our life, going to give us the things that we want. But only if it's the things that are going to be good for our salvation. He sees the total picture. And if that's the case, if he knows what we need, and he knows what's going to help us in our salvation, then why do we need to ask him? Why does God ask us to pray? Why doesn't he just give us the things that we need? It's because he wants us to participate. He gives us complete free will to love or to not love him. And he wants us to participate in our own salvation. So Jesus is always wanting us to see why he grants prayers that he does and ones that he doesn't. You know, as a child grows up and they realize that there's times when my parents do give me candy and times when they don't, when they get to be older, and especially when they're parents, then they can see that ultimately it was for their own good. And they may not see that all those petitions they had as young people were really for their own good until their parents themselves. Just as we won't see why prayers were not answered in the way that we wanted, every prayer is answered, sometimes it's a no, but we'll see that when we get to the kingdom of heaven. We'll look back across our lives and understand why our Lord chose to grant some things and not others. Sometimes we see it before we get to eternal life. Sometimes, just a few months after we don't get what we want, we realize why it is. I think we've all had that experience, that actually getting what we had asked for would have been to our own detriment. And finally, that persistence in prayer. He talks about knocking on the door. Again, our Lord is one who gives us free will. So he's not going to break down the door. We have to let him in. We have to let him in so that he can then explain to us what he has in store for us. And for each one of us, it's heaven, if we can really participate in our salvation through the gift of prayer. So we have to pray with confidence. And our Lord will give us what we need for our salvation. That means, first of all, Mass, because Mass is the greatest prayer. And you see all the petitions that we offer. Some of them are things for this world. But most of the petitions are things that will help us get to heaven or help the salvation of those who have gone before. Our Lord inspired the Mass, instituted the Eucharist, in order to be that perfect prayer, to bring our petitions to the Lord through the Lord himself in the giving of his life and the continuation of that one sacrifice of the cross. Going to confession is another great way of understanding what God has in store for us, because we look across our lives at the ways that we've failed and the ways we can do better and the graces that we need to ask for. And we have to grow in relationship. Christ says that he wants to come into our hearts and dine with us. Well, how many of us open the door and invite random strangers into our house for dinner? Not very many. We invite people in who we know. So if we don't know Christ, it's going to be very hard to invite him in. And how do we get to know him? It's through personal prayer. Spending some time each day reflecting on the scriptures and being in conversation with our Lord. That's what prayer is. And within that prayer, within that communication, we bring our petitions and we receive an answer. And someday understand why that answer was what it was. If we can do that, if we can understand that our Lord is the perfect parent and knows what we need and when we need it, and we can grow in relationship with him, then at the end of our lives, we'll see the totality of those choices, the totality of those petitions that were or were not answered that led us into the kingdom of heaven. And in the kingdom of heaven, we'll have a real banquet. I imagine it's something like the quality of food that I had at that long gourmet meal and the pacing and portions of a Waffle House. And of course, there's no calories in heaven.